2026 pack.
Doug, I love my animals.
I can tell.
Really?
Just by looking at your seats in your truck.
Oh, yeah, or my pants when I get out.
Bob, you need to bring your vehicle by Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. We vacuum, shampoo, steam clean. We'll have it looking and smelling like new.
Even after my dogs?
We've handled it all, Bob.
Get your vehicle back to showroom condition at Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Face it, size does matter. Whether you need more shop space, more storage, or room to expand your business, extra square footage is something you'll never regret. Synergy Shop Aluminum give you a full 2,400 square feet with 21-foot ceilings so you can build the space you need today and still have room for tomorrow. Before you buy commercial property, compare the square footage. Because foot for foot, Synergy Shop Aluminum is the best commercial value in Sheridan. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty for a tour.
A lot of things in Wyoming depend on the weather. Your financial future shouldn't. This is Frank Boley with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. Our team provides disciplined financial guidance to help individuals, families, and businesses create a plan built for the long run. Don't leave your future to chance. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. Grounded in values, built for generations. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Packing for a vacation? Not so fast. Enter Sheridan Travel and Tourism's Wyocation Staycation Sweepstakes, and you could win an unforgettable local adventure. Explore the Bighorn Mountains with an experienced guide. Stay at a Spiro Wigwam cabin. Enjoy horseback riding. Catch a movie and cool off at Kedrick Park Pool. Then celebrate with ice cream from Scoops. Your next great vacation is right here at home. Check it out and enter daily at the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, July 27th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's boiling Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Museum at the Bighorns Director Carrie Ettinger and Operations Manager Chip King. Good morning. We were just talking about the heat, folks. It's warm out there.
Warm outside. I kept my mouth shut. I'm spoiled. I do have AC at home. So I keep my mouth shut.
You don't want to brag too much about the AC because then it starts making weird sounds, right?
We just replaced 2 years ago now.
So, nice, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone's sitting in front of the AC. I'll tell you what, I told my wife yesterday, just go get a chair. Just go get a chair, put it right in front of the AC. That's the best move I can tell you to do. Now, rodeo week.
Wow.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
I actually, for our board, I ran the numbers. Rodeo week, we had half a year's attendance in 1 week as opposed to the log building.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. In 1 week, we exceeded what we... I had the numbers from, I think it was October, November, December, and it was like 1,200 people in the log building, and it was 6,000 something downtown.
Incredible.
I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, just running through the, you know, running through the space. It really, truly was.
How did that feel, having that place so crowded and more you people know, coming in?
You know, way back when we talked, before we opened, you asked what I wanted to see most in the museum, and that was it. It was people in the door, people buying, you know, a book, a hat, you know, a bag of rocks, whatever the case may be, but people in the door. And then, you know, seeing them go right through and spend time in the exhibit, I mean, it fantastic, really is.
Carrie?
Well, yes, I agree with Chip, because when I started, it was still not open, not the lobby, until last summer. But yes, always wanting people in the door and start sharing things. As you know, that's kind of my interest, is more community programming, but the exhibit is part of that as well. It's the opportunity to start sharing local history.
Now, yeah, when these folks are coming through, Chips in the front, where were you? Were you walking around talking to them, or?
Well, it depends on what we're doing. Yeah. We're still going through the collections. We're still setting up things. Still doing administration work.
So, so all this great stuff's happening upstairs, and you're in the basement going through a box.
Sometimes, but sometimes I do walk through to get my lunch in the staff room and things, and I do welcome people. But Chip keeps me informed of the numbers, or our front desk staff.
Yeah. You know, we go through, because where our office is located, we have to come through the exhibit space to get to the lobby. And so, you know, like Carrie said, I mean, if we're going across to the break room, if we're coming out to the lobby, you know, whatever the case may be, I mean, both of us are walking through the exhibit space, you know, at any given time throughout the day. And it does. It gives us an opportunity to talk to people.
Any comments from folks about the layout, the exhibit? It's virtually a new museum.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we do have a little sign-in paper, and also front desk staff do talk to people as well. But the comments like enjoy the exhibit. We're still collecting contact information because we're trying to build up the base for people to know what the future of the museum is, future programs. So we have that all in progress for people to stay in contact with us. We work hard because we're basically starting from scratch to do that. but also we want the community and people, visitors, to know that the exhibit space is still in progress. We are not finished this expansion project yet. We still have the exhibit space to finish up and building out 6 permanent exhibit spaces, and what those themes are, and how those themes will impact education programs, community programs, what to expect, which parts will change. We will have a 6 months changing exhibit area that will have different themes. Yeah.
Now, Carrie, this is something that I don't feel that I talk about enough. So I owe you an apology, but you can become a member of the museum of the Bighorns.
Mm-hmm.
What does membership bring? And as you were saying, hey, we're starting from scratch here. We're trying to get some good members, trying to get some good support, some people who are highly interested in the history of the area. What does membership offer, folks?
Well, usually membership offers free admission to the museum, but right now this Scott Foundation is covering that to August 31st because they were very excited about our current exhibits and wanted to share that with the community as we grow. It offers a discount, 10% in our store. We are working on members programs. We had 2 previews for our first exhibit with the 1926 Jessamine Spears black and white photography of the 50th anniversary of the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And then the Smithsonian exhibit, we also had a members preview.
Wow.
So members programming is part of that. And then as I get the collections established and those higher tier memberships, I would like to offer opportunities to see things in the collection, because as we know, the collection has hardly been seen by anyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of items down there.
No, Carrie and I have talked a lot about doing, you know, the sneak preview.
I mean, even giving our members a preview once we have a preliminary drawing, more what we're working toward with the design team. We have a very preliminary sketchup that's going to shift again of the exhibit space. So by fall, it will have more details, more content to it.
Yeah. We've been given from the new company that we're working with, they call them white drawings, and they're, you know, 3-dimensional renderings, and there's no color. There's a little bit of texture. They might have, you know, dropped in an image of something that we have in the collection, but for the most part, I mean, it's just a black and white drawing of an artist rendering of the space. Yeah. And Carrie has been, we each have our homework that we need to do after we have our meetings on Wednesdays, and Carrie's is more intensive. She's got a lot of writing to do. I'm trying to pick up, some Bighorn Mountain imagery and stuff like that, just for, background, but not, Carrie's got a lot of context, writing that she's got to do. But, it is sneak peeks and sneak peeks and, just things like that to try to get, try to engage, the community and our membership, which is and has been lacking, And so just trying to, hit all the avenues we can hit.
And once all the construction and the exhibits are set up and things like the big project is done, I imagine programs will probably blow up.
Because that's how we will bring people back into the museum, is programs and changing one of those exhibit spaces twice a year to refresh things. Yes, and more with schools, with tours. We've just started all that. But yes, the programs is what is going to keep bringing people back.
Let's talk about what's in there right now. The All-American Indian Days, 1953 to 1984 exhibit. What inspired this exhibit?
Well, it is a unique Sheridan County history, and it's also part of the Sheridan County 250th celebration. It's also conversations with the Bighorn Historical Society and also the Miss Indian America Collective of getting together and having an exhibit that highlights this. So it's a lot of partnerships. It's also a lot of loaned materials and items, because I'm still going through the museum collection and what is in the collection and what, all those good things of museums ownership and what was on loan and things like that. I'm still sorting and sifting.
When it comes to those items that have been loaned to you for this exhibit, highlight one for me that really got to you.
Well, we do highlight 12 of the Miss Indian Americas in the exhibit with personal items or personal achievements past when they won the title in the pageant.
Wow.
So they're either regalia, an item that they collected when they toured as Miss Indian America. So they range from clothing to shawls and beaded
sashes
and writings and books. We have a book that's also part of that. And then also what they do, Claire Manning Dick works with veterans' widows. She lays the wreath out in Washington, D.C. during to acknowledge Veterans Day. So on the online version of the exhibit, we have the press release of her doing that, because that is something that she continues to do, is honor veterans' widows, and is very engaged with that. So yes, it's material things, but also what they're doing today. They're
cool,
remarkable women.
And I think that's amazing. Like, we're going to celebrate, Miss American Indian, but at the same time, what are you doing now?
Yes. Well, something that I like to highlight is the then and the now.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's the only way we can reflect on history or associate ourselves with it. Because a lot of the things, especially the turn of the century, it's hard to imagine living that way now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. More with our museum at the Bighorns in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Time for a Sheridan County Fair hourly update presented in part by Truebill Builders, McDonald's, Blacktooth Large Animal, and Heartland Kubota. It's Monday and the Dog Show takes place in the exhibit hall and out in the lawn in the 9 o'clock hour. Starting then, the horse speed events will start later on tonight, 5:30. This will be going on in the arena. All events are taking place up at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds and SheridanMedia.com live streaming many of all these events all week long. All events are subject to change, though, at a moment's notice. This Sheridan County Fair update presented in part by Harlan Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Keep listening for daily updates every day during the fair. And make sure you go to our website, SheridanMedia.com, SheridanMedia.tv. Check out the Everything Fair page. More updates coming up right here on this Sheridan Media radio station and online at SheridanMedia.com. Stay cool on this Monday. Get out there at the fairgrounds.
Hendo's consignment program had as many as 34x4s out on the lot, some with plows, a sparkling Honda Shadow road bike, a couple of Arctic Cat sleds, a handful of riding mowers, and 50 or more pieces of equipment priced to move. Stop in today and ask for a walkthrough and get into the machine you've been looking for without the new car smell, but plenty of get her done. And if you've got equipment you'd like to sell, Hendo's will even come and get it. Hendo's Service Center and Consignment Program on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're joined by Museum at the Bighorns Director, Carrie Ettinger, and Operations Manager, Chip King. Now, we talked about the Scott Foundation support for free admission. Kind of a big deal, isn't it, Carrie?
Yes, it's wonderful that they want to support this museum through this transition and offer opportunities for the community to come to the museum, because admissions is one way, like donations and memberships and grants that the museum obtains monies for either operating funds or projects.
And yes. It really, I mean, even though admission isn't that much, there's still that, well, do I want to risk X amount of dollars to go in and see something that isn't completed yet or to ask questions?
Right.
And whereas the Scott Foundation jumped in there and said, you know what, just go in there for free. Check it out. Look at all the cool new exhibits. Look at the cool new layout. See for yourself.
Right.
I mean, they had, I feel like it's that faith. I got faith that I'm going to pay this admission for everyone through the summer, and I'll guarantee they're going to want to go back.
Yeah. No. And I mean, that hasn't been the only driver of people coming through. Because people still ask, you know, what is the admission?
Yeah.
And, you know, so we do, of course, I mean, if they want to donate whatever they felt they would have paid, you know, as admission, I mean, please, we are always going to accept a donation. We've got a little cash box right by our drinking fountain. And, you know, I empty it out every other week. And, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, people are still, regardless of the free admission, people are still coming in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They see it as their museum. Don't
exactly.
They? And they want to continue to support it.
Right.
And I think that's absolutely amazing. But again, it's that good faith where it's, well, I see they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I want to jump on that. Now, Let's talk about the exhibit that is currently up. Before we took the break, we were talking about the Miss Indian American pageant, the All-American Indian Days exhibit. How long is this going to be up, Carrie?
It's up till the end of December.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
wow.
It's up for 6 months. And it's part of our transition with as we move towards 2027, where we'll have those six permanent exhibit spaces, then will be filled out throughout that open space. Yes.
Just so folks know, when does the free admission come?
August 31st is the last day for the free admission with the Scott Family Foundation.
All right. Now, what other exhibits are currently up at the museum right now?
Just right now, it's the All-American Indian Days, and the exhibit has some layout themes. The beginning of the exhibit highlights how All-American Indian Days came about, which started in 1953, but the beginnings was when Lucy Yellow Mule from Crow Nation won the Sheridan Y.O. Rodeo Queen. She's one of the first Native Americans to receive recognition as a rodeo queen. But at this time, Sheridan and, you know, there's still discrimination, public discrimination, yeah, of them visiting Sheridan. And some elders from Crow Nation and also Howard Sinclair, who was a Sheridan Press employee or news person, they got together to create this event, which was supposed to cross boundaries and invite regional and even national tribes to Sheridan for this 3-day event with All-American Indian Days. We do focus on the Miss Indian America pageant a lot, but I also have samples from old programs. They had art exhibits. They had contests, teepee raisings. We have 1953 footage of the parade, All-American Indian Days parade. And it also has a highlight of the fairgrounds where they set the teepee camp up in the middle of the fairgrounds. We have two teepees in the space. One is Crow, one is Northern Cheyenne. We had tribal members help us raise those teepees. And all winter long, we were brainstorming of how to put teepees on a hardwood floor because they have to, should be staked in the ground. So, but we solved the problem.
How'd you solve it?
Well, rocks, rubber bumpers, a canvas, flooring that is added to our flooring for non-slip. But yes, lots of trial and error, but we did it.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Have you ever played the game pickup stick?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. With, yes, with 12-foot poles. Okay. Yeah.
I imagine those aren't light.
No.
And they all lean each other because it's a circular, as you know, the teepee is circular and it helps support each other. But you should have some non-slip things going, yeah, on so they can support each other. But they're wonderful height in that space.
I'm amazed that they fit as well.
Well, they're small teepees. They're 9-foot teepees. They're a smaller version of an actual teepee. The museum had them. Yeah.
So why did this event come to an end?
From my understanding, it had to do with funding and interest. And by the early 80s, it took a lot of funding for not just the pageant, but to set up the events. Also, there was funding for the Miss Indian Americas to travel after. Host families were another part of this, integral part of this. The ladies stayed here in Sheridan for a year during their travel.
Wow. Wow.
So yes, it's a lot of planning for, you know, people's stays and monies. And as we know, as decades go on, sometimes certain things lose interest and some other things evolve. It did move on to South Dakota. I think it was like 5 or 6 years there as well. And yeah.
And then it just kind of fizzled out.
Yes, and from my understanding, in the Southwest, there's other Native pageants. I don't know all their names off the top of my head.
Oh, so interest shifted.
Yes.
Okay.
And we also have rodeo queens, and, you know, that also expanded from 1952. I have one of the original news articles, all the ladies who were contestants for the rodeo queen in 1952 came from Sheridan County. Arvada, Monarch, one of the coal sites, yeah. And it talks about how great horsemanship skills she had. So think Incredible. About that in a mining town.
Yeah.
It brings new interest to all these towns, little towns that we had in Sheridan. Yeah.
Now, it's somebody out there, maybe they haven't seen it yet. Chip, you've walked through this thing quite a few times, I imagine,
helped
set it up. So what would you tell somebody who hasn't seen the exhibit as of yet?
You know, Carrie and I try to set the exhibit up so it flows around in a certain direction. And we do that intentionally. And so go in, read the background information right on the very front wall of the exhibit space and get a little bit of the background. And then when you round the corner, it is something completely different that, you know, I mean, it's all about Sheridan and All American Indian Days, but it's a tremendous reflection on the time. I'm not going to say of Sheridan, but of the time.
Right.
And so, you know, take the time to go through. You know, we've had visitors. I mean, they spend 5 minutes. We've had visitors in there and they're in there for an hour and a half, you know, and if you're not in there, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I mean, you're doing a quick loop and you're moving on to whatever, you know, whatever store you're going on to, but, take some time. It is a tremendous portion of, you know, Sheridan history, modern Sheridan history.
You're
but,
right.
You know, it really moves you through what was taking place in the country in the 50s through the 80s, and fantastic ladies involved in this. You know, they were so generous in loaning their items, regardless of how big, how small, one item, five items, whatever the case may be. You know, you had said it once before, Carrie has said it, it's building that trust back up, in the museum. So, you know, please just walk through, take your time and you read some of that information. Yeah.
Carrie, I got a final question for you. I got just a few minutes left. Have you really noticed folks who come through the museum? Visitors, they'll look through the museum, and then when they step back out onto the street, maybe they look up a little bit more or to the side, because now they've learned a little bit more history, and so Sheridan becomes a little more intriguing.
I don't know. I would have to have conversations with them, which I have had some conversations with community members who, you know, the older generation who remembers either attending All American Indian Days or their family volunteered in some way, or they live near the fairgrounds and remember the drums and the teepees and all the activities that summer. I've heard various, yeah. But I think there is some insight to the younger generations of how all these things have evolved.
Yeah.
Because as we know, there's many transitions or changes, if you will, with our regional tribes, the reservations, and even practicing their culture.
Yeah.
You know, that's multiple decades of changes. Yes.
One thing that I've seen, and maybe I'm lucky in this, because I have had the honor of speaking with a lot of indigenous individuals representing the cultures and the tribes throughout the nation, thanks to the Interpretive Ranger program.
Oh, yeah.
And in that, I just see this new interest in the younger generations within their heritage and the culture of their tribe. And again, maybe that is most definitely an outsider looking in, but I just feel like there's a renewed vigor there. And I think it's absolutely amazing. My own daughter, you know, taking her through these exhibits through the years, nothing like what you've got going on, but usually smaller exhibits in various other cities that explore the indigenous people, the tribes, the things that they had to face throughout the years. The look on her face said it all for me.
I see.
You know, it was just, it's different, I think, seeing it in the face of the youth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you guys for doing everything that you're doing. I think this is a fantastic exhibit. And I think I'd love to come down and take a peek.
Well, you're more than welcome. Everybody's more than welcome.
I want to thank you guys so much. Real quick, if I wanted to become a member, what do I need to do?
Well, you can visit our website, which is museumbighorns.org. And underneath the donations section, there is a membership section. So you can do it online. You can stop in the museum and pick up a membership brochure and purchase it at the front desk or mail us a check, whichever way you would like to work that. We have multiple ways of doing it.
Carrie, Chip, thank you both so much for coming in this
Thanks,
morning.
Lord.
It's always
yes.
a pleasure talking with you guys. And I always end up learning something. Learning something on a Monday morning.
Slow down.
I know. It's a little intense. That's why you see the smoke coming out of my ears. I appreciate you guys. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Sundowner Lions Club about the upcoming main event gravel grinder. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Sheridan County Fair, one of the many highlights of summer events in Sheridan.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth that participate each year. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, committed to our community for over 88 years. Member FDIC.
Did you know that you save money and help our 4-H and FFA youth by purchasing at your local county fair livestock sale? Hi, this is Chloe Wardell with the 307 Pioneers 4-H Club. If you add up the yearly cost of purchasing meat through the grocery store versus purchasing from the sale, you get a better product, save money, and can contribute to your community. Don't want the whole animal? You can split it with your friends or neighbors. Contact our livestock sale committee and they can help you with your purchase.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stop China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
What does your dream garage look like? All your tools perfectly organized and stored in a shiny new Carlisle toolbox? Or a whole wall of every Milwaukee power tool you could ever want? How about a car lift? Ooh, a car lift on wheels. You need to check out the Real Deals flyer from Napa. It has everything you could ever want for your dream garage. You're welcome. Stop in the store or view it online. If Napa doesn't have it, they can get it. Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan, making dream garages come true.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main. Hey Sheridan, this is Jay Senegata, the head coach of your Sheridan Hawks. I've worked with many talented hockey players, and I can tell you this. Success isn't built on the ice alone. It's built around the dinner table and a supportive home with people who believe in you. This season, we still have several players who need host homes. If you can open your home, you'll make a difference that lasts a lifetime. Visit the Sheridan Hawks Facebook page for more information. I hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, and let's go Hawks.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, we're speaking with Sundowner Lions Club members Bill Rathburn and Treasurer Jim Rapp. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Floyd.
Now, first off, Bill, I want to ask you, how them peach sales going?
You know, the peach sales are looking good. It looks like we're going to might sell more than we did last year.
Oh, fantastic.
We're hoping we do. And I think they're looking pretty good. The end is coming up pretty soon. The end of this week is our supposedly last day to take orders.
Now, just if you could for me one more time, how do folks place their orders and when do they need to pay?
They need to pay immediately. We need the money up front. We need a good email address and a good phone number, and they can get a hold of us by, what is that box number that they can?
P.O. Box 319.
P.O. Box 319.
Right.
Sheridan.
Correct.
Okay. Now.
And they better get that in because it's the end of this week that it's kind of our deadline.
Yeah, I need to get with you, Bill.
But we should be selling at Farmer's Market Thursday night and then again at Farmer's Market on the 6th.
Okay.
As far as I'm sure we'll make work something out. So.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bill. You brought me one. yeah, because I'll tell you what, the wife is looking forward to those peaches. I brought those up to her and she said, you know what? You better get two. So
okay, I remember that.
I'm a pie guy, and she's got big plans. I'm really looking forward to it. These peaches also, all of it goes to basically help fund these fantastic programs.
The site program yeah. that we have.
Now, that's something else that we're here to talk about, because for listeners who may not have ever heard about this, what is the main event gravel grinder?
Well, the main event gravel grinder bike ride is a bike ride that we have out east of town, where the Dead Swede bike ride goes mostly west of town, a little bit on the east of town, but we're all on the east of town, and it is a gravel, and we offer four different races. It's a 22-mile ride, a 32-mile ride, a 54-mile ride, and a 78-mile ride. So we have four different rides available.
Now, the majority or all of this is actually done on gravel roads, thus the name, correct?
Majority is gravel road. There is a fraction of it that is on pavement. We can't avoid that, but the majority is on gravel.
Now, when and where will this take place this year?
This will take place on September 19th, Saturday, September 19th.
Is this pretty big?
It's getting bigger. Last year, I think we had 75 riders. We're hoping to get much more than that this year.
The big triple digit this year.
Yeah. We're hoping for triple digit this year.
I've seen a lot of, there's a lot of bike races in the country. And one thing that somebody once told me is there are people who will try to plan their summer around these bike rides, just basically going from one to the other.
I have a nephew-in-law that does that. He plans his summer around bike races.
That's incredible. Now, who can participate?
Anybody can participate. We have some kids that participate in it. A lot of women participate in it. Men participate in it. You don't have to have any level of expertise, because we have many ride. The 22-mile ride is a fairly short ride for somebody who's an avid bike rider.
Anyway. Yeah. I think that would be a great one for the family.
Yes, I think it would be.
You know, if you got a couple teenagers who like to ride their mountain bikes, mm-hmm. this is a great introductory kind of extreme bike race.
Right. And there are bikes made for gravel. There are mountain bikes. They can use their mountain bike as well. I think it's a great chance for families to get out there. Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic opportunity to kind of introduce them to the whole thing. Where and when can people register for this?
Well, they can register online at www.maineeventgravel.com. Now, I'll have to kind of explain that. Maine is like a lion's mane, spelled M-A-N-E. The Maine event, maineeventgravel.com is the address.
Now, why did the Sundowners become involved with a bike race?
We got involved with bike races quite a few years ago, and we were doing very small bike races while we still had the basketball tournament going on. We were trying some bike races out, and we have a gentleman who is blind who rides a tandem bike, and he's a back rider on a tandem bike, and he's very interested in these bike races. So he's the one that kind of got us started in this.
Oh, wow.
And so we got started in that, and then when we lost our basketball tournament, when the college got rid of their basketball team, we decided we had to do something else, so we went with this gravel grinder bike ride.
Have you seen the success of this bike ride increase over the years?
Oh, this has increased each year as we go. I think we're, four or five years into it, Jim?
Yeah, about at least four.
Okay. We're 4 years into it. I think it increases every year. And we have now a professional bike rider who is kind of in charge of this now. And he's the one that is really getting it going. And we're depending on, one of the things we depend on is sponsors. And we have businesses that are sponsors. And I would like to give give some thanks out to our business sponsors that we have.
Please do.
We have a Big Shifter, which is a website design outfit. Big Shifter, it's called Wild Vision. One of the gentlemen from Wild Vision supports us very greatly. Sheridan Bicycle supports us. The Koltiska's Pumpkin Patch, that's where we start this whole thing, at the Pumpkin Patch. And they support us very with a lot of good support. Hammer Nutrition, Wyono Bar and Grill. We used to start at the Wyono Bar and Grill years ago, and we became very good, very close to them, and they still want to be involved. They're actually going to provide, they're going to bring to Koltiska's refreshments after the after the race is over. And so they're a great sponsor for us, Wyono Bar and Grill. A-Team Cleaning is another group. Hospital Pharmacy helps us out a lot, too. So we just really put a great big thanks out to these sponsors.
Are you accepting any other sponsors, or have you guys kind of put the...
We will accept any sponsor. Jim has a website they can go to, maybe.
For
a sponsor. If a business out there would like a sponsor, where can they go? What website can they go to?
They can go to Wild Path Racing LLC.
Wild Path Racing LLC.
Yep.
Okay. Now, you've been to kind of one of these events, haven't you, Bill? And stuck around afterwards. What does that look like?
We give awards out afterwards, if that's what you mean.
Is there like a little party or gathering, a lot of folks?
There's a gathering of people, especially people are very tired when they come in from the 78-mile ride. So Yeah, there is a little gathering, and people have some refreshments after the thing. They do we do provide a meal for them after the Kultiskas serve the meal, and then the Wayano Bar and Grill will be there with a trailer for liquid refreshment.
Got to replace those calories somehow.
Replace the calories, yes.
Now let's talk about what this race does for the Sundowner Lions.
Well, this is one of our, we have two major fundraisers, the Peach Sales and the Main Event Bike Ride. And what it does for us, it allows us to do eye care for both children and adults. We've gotten big into adult surgeries anymore. What we do is we have the Rocky Mountain Lions Eye Bank in Denver, along with the Wyoming Lions Foundation, and then the three clubs, the three Lions clubs here in Sheridan County. Between those, we're able to fund these surgeries.
How does somebody find you?
How does somebody find
if you? if they need this surgery? What are like the requirements that are needed?
Well, normally they go to. We get the calls from Wyoming eye surgeons, and they will give us the information, and then we contact the people. We fill out the forms with them and stuff, and then we send it down to Denver to the eye bank, and they have a surgery fund. They get accepted, the eye bank surgery fund pays 80%.
Wow.
Of the surgery cost. And the Lions of Wyoming Foundation pays 10%, and then the three clubs in Sheridan County, like Bill said, pays the other 10%. And this started back in 1988 when we had a young lady here in town that went blind, and she had a double cornea transplants. And she was a bookkeeper at Sheridan College originally. And she was able to go back to that, and she is still has her sight.
That's amazing.
In all those years. So,
Jim, as the treasurer, how important is this race as a fundraiser to the clubs?
Well, very much so, especially now that we have people that know what they're doing, and instead of members of the club trying to put it together. This is the big thing. So,
now, how have you seen the returns from this race change over the years?
Well, it's really increased for us. Did a lot less. Well, how to put it? The club members tried to do it, and we're having a hard time. And especially, I'm one of them. I don't like going around and like getting sponsors and things like that there. I like going out and doing the work, but not the other part and stuff. So I think it's really improved in the last couple of years. So.
Yeah. And you got that pro writer in there and really kind of helped everything out. Yeah. What does it mean to you to see that interest increasing over the years, Bill?
Oh, it's just great to see it increasing, and it has to increase. The surgeries are getting more expensive that we're funding, and the eyeglasses that we're funding, we're getting more requests for eyeglasses. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are also the ones that pay for the eye checks.
We pay for
at all the schools.
At all the school, K through 12, we pay for eye exams and eyeglasses for children on nurse recommendations. The nurse usually calls us and recommends the patient.
Now, that's one thing that I really want people to know, because I grew up getting my eyes checked at school, and I didn't realize that's Lions that are getting that done for us. I kind of took it for granted back then, but I sure as heck don't know. So I'm getting a little bit older and the glasses are getting thicker.
And for the young children, we also do eye testing. Oh, what do they call that? What's that machine?
The Plus Optics machine.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they test eyes. And we've had a couple. We had one girl. It's been several years ago now. And we didn't know about it until that we went to the school the next year. And she came up, and the school nurse came up also and said, "What we found when we did that testing with the Plus Optics machine, that she would have been blind in about 3 months if we wouldn't have caught it."
Wow.
And her parents took her to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor went to somebody else, and she had some surgery, actually saved her eyesight. So all you need is one of those, and that there is enough, you know.
Yeah, get your eyes checked, yes. Folks. That's one thing I think a lot of us kind of put off, you know, that those of us that are out here thinking, well, they're getting worse, but maybe I could, I'll do it next year.
Right.
And that's a fantastic lesson. Don't do it next year. I've run out of time with you. Bill, one more time, how does somebody get involved in this fantastic race?
How does somebody get involved in this fantastic race? Again, they can go to the main event, and main is spelled M-A-N-E, themaineventgravel.com.
All right. Bill, Jim, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's always good seeing you. And once again, Bill, I love that shirt. It's radio. People can't see you, but that is a fantastic Hawaiian shirt. I greatly appreciate you, my friends. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Time for Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Truebill Builders, McDonald's, Blacktooth Large Animal, and Heartland Kubota. It's Monday, and the dog show takes place in the exhibit hall and out in the lawn in the 9 o'clock hour. Starting then, the horse speed events will start later on tonight, 5:30. This will be going on in the arena. All events are taking place up at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds, and SheridanMedia.com live streaming many of all these events all week long. All events are subject to change, though, at a moment's notice. This Sheridan County Fair update presented in part by Harlan Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Keep listening for daily updates every day during the fair. And make sure you go to our website, SheridanMedia.com, SheridanMedia.tv. Check out the Everything Fair page. More updates coming up right here on this Sheridan Media radio station and online at SheridanMedia.com. Stay cool on this Monday. Get out there, the fairgrounds.
Hi, this is Sarah. Whether you're hitting the road or hitting the trail, Sheridan Honda and Power Sports will get you adventure ready. Get 10% summer savings off any service up to $100. From oil changes, brakes, tires, batteries, and AC for your car, to expert maintenance for your motorcycle, ATV, or side-by-side, our factory-trained technicians have you covered. Don't let a breakdown hinder your summer fun. Schedule your appointment today. Sheridan Honda and Power Sports, where every adventure starts with dependable service.
What is the latest and greatest, or even not so great? Hi, I'm Rich DeMuro with Rich on Tech. Be sure to listen this Saturday on
News Talk 930, now on 103.9 FM.